الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي بنعمه تتم الصالحات، الحمد لله الذي قدر كل ما هو آت وكل ما هو فات. نسأله عز وجل موجبات رحمته، نسأله الفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. I bear witness there is no deity save Allah, and Muhammad is his servant and his messenger and his mercy to all mankind. We pray to him to shower his mercy and his blessings upon all the prophets and upon Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon all of them. Dear brothers and sisters, not too long ago I gave a khutbah about al-Sharia, and in that khutbah I reminded us how important that we understand first and foremost what the Sharia means. And I touched briefly on the overarching principles of the Sharia, the characteristics of it, and unfortunately the misconception that the Sharia now is limited to few verses that are pretty much talking about legal aspect. Inshallah, today will be another attempt to expound on this important topic and go into it a little bit deeper. As we've stated in the past, the Sharia was mentioned only as the word Sharia only once in the Quran. It's verse 19:18, chapter 45. ثم جعلناك على شريعة من الأمر. And finally, O Muhammad, we have set you on a clear path which the purpose may be fulfilled. And when we look at the linguistically what Sharia means, Sharia is a path of water. This is Arabic language. It is the path of water that is clear. And subhanAllah, Allah has chosen this word for the meaning that has in it, wallahu a'lam. But when we are talking about water, we all know the water is the source of all organic life. So we might think that probably, wallahu a'lam, God knows best, that it is a reminder that this Sharia is a source to our life, which inshallah throughout the khutbah I'll come back to this important thing toward the end of my first khutbah. So unfortunately, in the time that we live in right now, when you are trying to understand what the meaning of Sharia, you will find so many definitions. It depends on which school of thought, it depends on the sect, it depends where you live, and we find not just the Muslims, but we find others, whether they are foe or they are friends, also they're trying to define the Sharia. Put aside the political game that some politicians use the Sharia to put fear in their constituents and so on. We'll stay away from this. I want to focus on what the Sharia. The reason is because it's not easy then to understand. How can you understand something if it is not well defined? So I'm going to try, inshallah, today to define it to the best possible way, because you can't apply something, you can't live something unless you understand it. And you cannot understand something unless it is well defined. Definition is important. So with that in mind, I decided that to withdraw from the time that we live in and to go and travel in history as close to the time of the Prophet as possible, hoping that we can, you know, able to understand what the Sharia meant back then. So this way, because applying the Sharia on the ground can vary based on time, based on place, yes. But the Sharia itself is definition, and the Sharia, not the application, but the soul of the Sharia shouldn't change. The Quran is there, and the definition back. If I travel back, as I said, you might be able to understand how they saw the Sharia back then. So the first stop will be with At-Tabari. At-Tabari is a prominent figure when it comes to Quranic reflections. He's an authority. They call him Shaykh al-Mufassirin. He is the highest among all the people who reflect on the Quran. And he quoted Ibn Zayd. Ibn Zayd is a prominent figure in the second century of Hijri. I'm going to stay with the Hijri year, so this way, so you can follow the historical trajectory. How close are we to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So Ibn Zayd is about 160 years about 150 years after the death of the Prophet. So he's much closer to the source than we are. And Imam al-Tabari said, Ibn Zayd, when he was reflecting on this verse, when ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَى شَرِيعَةَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ, he said, the Sharia is a deen. Is a Sharia, here a deen. Three, how can you forget? So that means a deen is the religion. And for us, the religion consists of two main sources. The Quran with 6,232 verses, and the Prophet ﷺ who received the Quran, and his responsibility is to apply it, to understand it, to teach it, and to apply it, to take these principles and give them life. So it's not just a book, but it is a reality. It's on the ground. You are seeing this. You're seeing this. Guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on the ground with the people. So he said, Ibn Zayd, quoted by the Tabari, he said, it is a deen, it is the Islam. And if I have another stop a couple of centuries later, there is a prominent figure again, his name is Abu Bakr al-Ajuri, was in about the 4th century, 360 Hijri again. He wrote a book, he called it Al-Sharia, but the whole book was about Al-Aqidah, about the articles of faith. Then I took another stop 100 years later for another prominent figure called Al-Raghib al-Asfahani, about 460 some years, Hijri, it's about 100 years after Abu Bakr. And he, in his book, he wrote a book, Al-Dari'a ila Makarim al-Sharia. The path is the best of human behavior. If you notice, he used the word Sharia. The whole book is about the al-akhlaq. It's about the human character and the human behavior. So far, from Ibn Zayd, going through a few other steps, we are seeing the Sharia now. He defined it as Islam, and we are finding others now are trying to help us understand when you say Islam, it means Al-Aqidah. When you say Islam, it means Al-Akhlaq. And as the time evolved and progressed, you will find there were some debate. You will hear some debate. How many verses really are the Sharia based on, yeah, the Quran is 6,232 verses, but how many verses are the Sharia? Some people said it's 500 verses. Some people said, no, this is too many, it's 200 verses. Some people said it's 150 verses. There is a prominent figure, his name is Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid. He was, when I did my research on him, he was a prominent in the Shafi'i and the Maliki school of thought. He was an authority in two schools. He was a prominent figure, he kept being quoted until recently. This is how prominent he is in the understanding Islam, specifically the Sharia. And when he was asked about the Sharia, I liked his answer. He said, when you look at the Quran and with an eye on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
In order for you to know the Sharia, it's up to you how knowledgeable you are and how pure you are and how intelligent you are. He said, I believe that every verse has something you could draw from it to guide your life. Not 200, not 500. He believes, like Ibn Zayd, and this gentleman is around the 7th century Hijri. It's about 500 years after Ibn Zayd. He also connected back to Ibn Zayd to say that, no. And I'll give you examples in my khutbah, what he meant. He said, you look at a story, and in the story you will find what can guide your life in so many aspects. So he said, in his opinion, the entire Quran is a source of Sharia. And so with that, I think we will be able to understand more or less when the Quran tells us, for example, in chapter 6, verse 165, فَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ. It is He who made you vicegerents on earth. So now we are residing on this earth. Allah is telling us, I put you not to own it. Everything is owned by the Creator, but you were put on this earth to reside on it. Were we put on this earth without a way to guide, to understand, with all the resources that are available on this earth? I mean, now with the technology, with everything, all the discoveries, the resources on this earth, it's unbelievable. So we find here, we are put as a vicegerent, and we are giving something that can help us, like what we've heard from these scholars, that can help us in all aspects of life. Not, unfortunately, in the legal aspect. Because if you take the verses that are legal, and I spoke about that in my previous khutbah, and there are like 9 verses which talking about the theft, talking about adultery, talking about slandering, talking about killing someone by mistake, and so on. These are the legal aspect that shape. And unfortunately, you hear that when people talk about the Sharia, we want to apply the Sharia, that's what they are talking about. So this huge source of guidance, 6,232 verses that Ibn Daqiq is talking about, that Ibn Zayd is talking about, that should guide our life as a vicegerent on this earth, it's not limited to 9 verses. Now we are talking about a wide spectrum of verses from the Quran that can guide our life as vicegerent. I am residing on this earth as vicegerent. I need to be guided. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is the Quran, that in it is the Sharia that can guide your life. The second thing is, brothers and sisters, remember 2 things. We are as human beings. We are vicegerent, and the other one is, you will find it in chapter 11, verse 61, هُوَ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَاسْتَعْمَرْكُمْ فِيهَا. I love Muhammad Asad's reflection on this one. He said, he brought you into being out of earth and made you thrive thereon. So now we have al-khilafah, we have al-imara. Being vicegerent, and not just I am residing on this earth with all these resources, but what is my responsibility? Is to develop it. To employ the gifts that God gave us on this earth, and the gifts of the mind and all the power that and the sense that we have, and we can. Al amara is those one who know Arabic. Amara is to build, to develop, and also we are, you know, if you look at the number of how many of us on this earth now, about 7 billion. If you go back a few, not too long, probably a couple of thousand years ago, God knows how many million we were. So we are growing and we are discovering. So for us, with such a great responsibility to be a khilafah and to do al-imara, to be vicegerent and to develop and build this earth, you need not few verses, you need this big, large source that can guide life, which is, as these scholars I quoted, we are talking about now the Quran. So, I wanted to go from theoretical now to some practical aspects so we understand what the Sharia means. I'll be very honest with you, I am not an expert on the Quran. I will share with you my limited knowledge. So when I was reflecting and trying to draw, what do we see in the Quran? What are the first thing come to your mind is the Aqidah. We all know the Aqidah is the oneness of God and the attributes and all the things that we know. We know al-ibadat, which is the acts of worship. The salat and the zakat and the wudu, all these things also that... So now we know the first one, al-aqidah, is who we are dealing with. Who owns this universe? Who is behind this universe? Al-aqidah comes and it offers you. And then you have how do you relate, how do you connect through prayers and through al-ibadat. The third thing is that the Quran has, it is the story. We have a story. The Quran tells you a story about the creation. The Big Bang, the explosion and the expansion, and now you have this universe. The Quran gives you a story. So when people tell you what are the basic things of Islam, well, we have the Aqidah, which is we know who is behind this universe, who we worship. How do we relate with him? But also there is story. Because the story helps us answer the question as, what's after this world? Is it the end? Our story says no. This is just a beginning. You go into another life, accountability and so on. So there's a story. It is also in the Sharia. It is in the Quran. What else it says in the Quran? The character. Al-akhlaq. To be an honest, to be trustworthy, to be a person of integrity, to be a person of patience, to be persons of a beauty. I mean, all these are part of the character. And the Quran gives us so many verses. They're talking about al-akhlaq. To the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq." I was sent to build and to complete. And this is very important. And I don't want to deviate from my khutbah. Not to erase others. No. To build on them. To complete. Li'utammim. Humble. That means those before me. I'm not here to erase the great work that they did. But I need to complete. So here the Quran, which is, again, I'm going to start using the word, the Sharia. It has the Aqidah, it has Al-Ibadat, it has the story of the universe, it has the Al-Akhlaq, it has, what else it has? It has so many things, brothers and sisters. When we are talking about legislation, Al-Shara'i'ah, marriage and divorce and inheritance, all these things that we know about. But there are so many more things, and I chose today two examples. When we're talking about, the Quran gives us principles in the political, in the economical, and the social, environmental arenas. I'm going to give us a few examples, so this way, so we really realize the Sharia of Islam, how beautiful and how powerful and how resourceful it is. If you look at verse Chapter 6, verse 38. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. There is not an animal that lives on the earth, nor a being that flies on its wings, but forms part of communities like you. Let's pause for just a second here and reflect. This is a verse from the Quran, and as we've heard, that the Quran is in its entirety can guide our life. Here what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, what I understand from it, animals in all their forms, whether the bees or the ants or whatever, they are communities. They are also residing on this earth like us. They don't have our power, but I have a responsibility now for these communities to make sure that I give them their rights. I take care of them. I protect them. The God's creation. And God is telling me, they are like you. They are communities. Look at the word. أُمَّمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. They are communities like you. So now, this is a Sharia now. I draw from it what it guides my, the way I deal with the environment. I'm being very simplistic now. I just took one verse. And I can talk about this verse for 1 hour. Can you imagine if I dig deeper into the Quran and I draw all the verses that can guide my relationship with those animals, with those insects, with the environment around me? This is a Sharia, brothers and sisters. When the Quran tells me about, we hear that often and often, the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We all know he left Egypt and he went and he came across these two ladies who gave them water, and then they end up by going to their father. And what the ladies say? إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنْ إِسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيِّ الْأَمِينَ. The best employee that you could use to serve and to lead and to help is the one who's strong in what you need him for or what you need her for, and trustworthy. This is also Sharia. So brothers and sisters, I hope there's not enough time. There are so many examples in stories and in verses in the Quran. So now I can see when we are talking about the Sharia, it is no longer a few verses. Sharia, it is when you look at the Quran with an eye on authentic life of the Prophet, it can guide life and transform it. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ أُدْعُوا اللَّهَ. الحمد لله الذي كتب على نفسه الرحمة وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Dear brothers and sisters, from the first part of my khutbah, when I talked about the water, how the Sharia means the path of water, and the water is the source of organic life. When you go through, as you can tell, you know, not even 0.00001% of touching this huge source of guidance, which is the Quran, with these thousands of verses that I quoted earlier. So now I can see why the Sharia now, it is source of my life. When I'm able to organize my life with the environment, organize my life with my fellow citizens based on compassion and mercy and love and peace. When I am, and the list can go on, how I should behave, all of this, it is deduced and derived from the Quran, which is from the Sharia. So the Sharia now is a something that it can guide your life and my life on a daily basis. And this is the challenge that we have as American Muslims, let's be honest. Because we were led to believe by few rhetorics here and there that, you know, the Sharia, it has to be applied. Yes, the Sharia, it has to be applied, and this is the Sharia. Dealing with the environment is a Sharia. Picking the right people is a Sharia. Living in justice and peace is Sharia. Living with compassion and mercy is a Sharia. There are so much that we can live. The question is, and we can apply, the question that is before us is, really, we should take this beautiful, powerful, resourceful Quran and dissect and break it down according to our needs. We live in America, we live in 21st century, and we have our own needs, we have our own challenges. And the best thing is, what Ibn al-Qayyim said, is مصالح العباد, الشريعة. What is the Sharia for? It is to help us, help our life, and to lift our potential. So our challenge in America, for us, the Muslims, is to look at the Sharia, look at that Quran, look at the Sharia, and really start breaking it down and find out how that divine revelation, that divine guidance can transform our life, help us to reach our potential as individuals, but also as a community, so we become that shining example to our nation. So people, when they look at Islam, they don't just see what they see on TV and what they hear from the politicians. They see us living the Sharia, living the Quran, where we become that beacon of light that can inspire others and touch the hearts of others. So let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who understand the Sharia, to make us among those who embrace it, to make us among those who they look at the Quran with a pure heart, not with a special interest, but with a pure heart. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge of His Sharia in the Quran, to make us among those who understand the implementation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his Sharia. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those shining examples so others will be inspired by our Sharia, by our Quran, through our examples. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Aqim as-salah.